Hi guys, this is the Ecumenist Tank. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey guys, this is the Ecumenist Tank. My name is Father Deacon Maverick, and this is the podcast where we come to speak about various things, including Christian theology, philosophy, and various other things as it pertains to Christian spirituality and unity, and also a bunch of other stuff that relates to that. I mean, there are many things that do, since Christianity is the foundation of Christian living, and Jesus Christ is the Logos, is the underlying principle and Logos of all things. Now, I was unable to do a podcast this past Sunday due to the fact that I was bedridden, and that's kind of bad because I actually had confession prepared, and I asked Father Xavier to prepare that for me. Actually, what happened was on Friday, I had somewhat of a good day. It was my birthday, the 8th of September, which also means that if you guys are interested in donating some theology books, especially the theology books on my wish list and, you know, the various things that I post on social media, you are welcome to do so. Jokes. But anyway, yeah, that's what happened on Friday. It was my birthday and I was teaching, and it was a hectic time because we had three colleagues that were bedridden, were sick. They were COVID positive, and that meant that we had to do all of the work. And so I was pretty tired. And then that evening I was out with Sharon, and we had a bit of a nice time together at one of these Samgyeopsal Korean barbecue type places. And yeah, for those of you who don't know, Samgyeopsal is actually barbecued pork, pork belly and so on. And we had a bit of a party there. It was just the two of us, and I had a pre-party with some of my students, and that was nice. It's always nice to know that one is appreciated. And I actually wanted to do a podcast episode, but every time I try doing one before Sunday, when I try doing one in the week, I am always bullied by my body. I am bullied by my own procrastination and my own tiredness to not go through with it. And so I was thinking through a few things, and that was actually one of the reasons why I wanted to go to confession, because I just feel like I've been processing a lot of things, and I feel like my discontentment and my walk with the Lord was hindered by my own inability to turn off, and my inability to just go about Christian spirituality as a whole. And I mean, that made me feel really bad because, I think that the way that I acted in maybe the last 2 weeks was unbecoming of Christian behavior and stuff. And I mean, people know this about me, but there are also many people that don't. And sometimes, the scriptures declare, it declares that, you know, we are children of God, and there's certain things that are expected of the children of God, the children of the covenant, and the children of the new covenant anyways. And so you sometimes wonder if you're doing a good job doing that. And so it's a good thing, I think, to have a time of introspection where you can say, am I exuding, you know, the love of Christ? Am I representing the glory and the love of Christ into the world? Because when we are not doing that, that's actually the epitome of sin. That is a bad relationship to the world around us, because we are not showing them what Jesus Christ is like. We are not showing them the love of God, the goodness of God, the bliss of God. And so out of a place of frustration, I found that actually in my own mind. So I do have a friend at work, and I do vent to him and stuff. But sometimes, you know, one wants to vent outside of those realms and stuff. And I feel like God gave us friends that we can vent to. But sometimes, and I mean, Proverbs speaks about this, a fool gives full vent to his anger. And there's nothing wrong with venting, but it needs to be done in such a way we can vent to God. We can tell God what we, well, the way that we feel. We see it throughout the scriptures, throughout the Bible, where David, we know about Koheleth, Ecclesiastes, that book. And various other places in the, Job, and we read the Psalms, and it's replete with texts that speak of our misery and our inability to cope with day-to-day situations and various things that cause us suffering. And I really didn't feel like I was doing a good job, and it took, and I had some time to take a step back and to just observe if I had done things, and that includes just idle things, just making comments that you think is idle. And then I thought, man, you really need to go to confession. There's so much stuff welling up, man. And as a cleric, I felt that on a very, very deep level. But more importantly, I felt that on a Christian level, on a Christian spiritual level. Now, the past, the Sunday that just passed was Trinity XIV. So Trinity XIV, what is that? The Roman numerals. So I usually prepare for these things, but I didn't actually have time to prepare a message. XIV, what is that? So yeah, so that was the 14th Sunday after Trinity. And I didn't really prepare anything on that, but I'm going to read the passage. So I just need to open this on Trinity. I didn't prepare anything for that, but I'm just going to speak from the heart. So it says Galatians 5, verses 16 to 24. Brethren, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revellings, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So, lascivious, to be lascivious, to be unclean, to be fornicating, to be, or a better way of understanding that, sexually immoral, to be sexually irresponsible, to be reckless, basically. I'm gonna comment on this before I read the gospel passage. So there's a path of walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. And we know if we give over to walking in the Spirit, we will inherit the life of the age to come. And if we give over to the flesh, we will go over into the state of the punishment of the age, this chastisement to death. And eternal death, right? And the Bible speaks of the way of life and the way of destruction, and we have those two possibilities. God sets before us life, and he sets before us death, and it's always so tempting for us to be reckless. And I feel like, for me, I feel this what I've been giving over to in the flesh, my frustration. And it says adultery, and adultery isn't just man and woman things. For me personally, that can be spiritual adultery. Now, it might not be what Paul intended here, but it can also mean marital unfaithfulness, right? Because some people think, well, adultery, and I mean, Calvin speaks about how thou shalt not be an adulterer, thou shalt not adulter, be an adulterer. That whole thing has is more on the focus of sexual immorality. I actually think that that has to do with unfaithfulness, marital unfaithfulness, unfaithfulness to your betrothed, unfaithfulness to your wife, unfaithfulness in and unfaithfulness can take other areas. So I'm obviously trying to bring the allegorical, spiritual crux of what Paul is saying out here. And he says fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murder, as drunkenness, revelings, and such the like. And all of this again stems from being reckless in one's orientation, to not care. Because if you don't care, honestly, if you are reckless and you don't care about what the consequences of things are, you are more than likely going to end up with a situation in your life or in your spiritual life, and probably good both, because I really don't think we can separate that. And then we end up with a life that is filled with chaos. Now, John Walton speaks about how the serpent in the garden, as a symbol of Satan, right, is actually a chaos creature. And the devil and his angels brings upon chaos into our life. And God comes to set right order. He tries to justify. He tries to invert what Satan has perverted. He tries to restore things that Satan has perverted. And so, for many of us, we need to, because the Bible speaks about the fires which will test all of us. And so, in one sense, and I don't want to get into the universalism thing, in my personal opinion, that means that the fire of God will not just try people who are quote unquote unrighteous, because from a very basic perspective, all of us are unrighteous. And so we can speak of the wrath of hell being manifest against all of us. And there's this whole warning in the scripture, how will you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? We can be careless in our spiritual orientation. And I think for me, this is what this is about. To not be under the mallet of the law. And to be under the law means to be under the condemnation of the law. To be under the binding arrangement of the law, which means that you are subject to its condemnation and so on and so forth. I don't want to delve deep in that, but that was something that I had to face. Now, as someone who's a universalist, I believe that that hell is universal purgatory, and so I cannot escape the fires of hell in the sense that the fires of hell will all come upon us to try us. And some of us will need to be refined for a long time, and others might not even can just walk through. And Paul speaks about this in 1 Corinthians, about the fire that tests in 1 Corinthians. I just want to get there. In 1 Corinthians 3, if you guys want to check it out. But yeah, and so that was a real deep thing for me, because I was thinking about, man, I can really avoid this, or I can walk deeper into this. And what I've also found is that the evils that surround us try to take our focus off of God, because we think about the various things. Oh, if you don't sin, you might end up doing this other sin. And so you end up bartering with God about what you can do and cannot do. And I think that's a real issue. What we think we can do when we allow small evils to come into our lives, not knowing that they can affect us. And so Saint Luke's Gospel, I just want to get the St. Luke's Gospel 17, verses 11 to 19. At that time, Jesus went to Jerusalem. He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give God glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And I find it very interesting that that we, in our spiritual life, when we find ourselves in sin, when we find ourselves in a bad habit, when we find ourselves in an addiction, and, you know, there's this heavy metal band, Mortification, extreme metal band, and I think it's one of the songs, Erasing the Goblin. And from what I understood, that song in particular had to do with erasing the evil addiction. And this is a very, very common theme in Christian heavy metal about facing addictions and stuff like that. How much more that if Jesus could heal a Samaritan person, someone that at that time he was not in a, he wouldn't have had the best of relationships with. And we know this because of the relationships Jews and Samaritans had with each other. That if this were the case, how much more would Jesus Christ, the one in whom we are united to, would not cleanse us from all of our iniquities and sin? Now, he might not do it in a flash, because the way that we experience time, the way God experienced time, that's one effect of it. And you know, sometimes God might give us a cross to bear, not to get us out of things, and we need to cooperate with the grace of God. And I'm not going to get into that whole thing. But how much more does God want you not, how much does God not want to set you free? How much does God want to set you free? Obviously, God doesn't, it's not that God doesn't want to set us free, right? I phrased that incorrectly, but the fact of the matter is God does want to set us free, and we shouldn't then go look for reasons to sin just because God's going to bail us out, because that's so many unnecessary things that we miss out. We miss out on the joy of our salvation. We miss on, and we might even for seasons, and some people will die in this life as apostates, being immune to the truth, not being able to rectify the relationship with God. But we know that God is willing if we just reach out. And so that's something that I wanted to speak about. So something that I, have been thinking about a lot is, there is a Protestant pastor that I like listening to, Pastor Bob Daly. And I'm into Christian rock and roll, Christian metal. And, you know, some people ask, what can I listen to this band? Can I listen to that band? And I think for me, I have a lot of bands, some secular bands, and some, you know, do speak about some dark things, right? And I have to sometimes ask myself, because there were some bands that I cannot listen to because I realized that I just feel like it's a waste of my time to be listening to these things. And I think we need to ask ourselves, what are we listening to? What are we opening our ears to? And what are we letting in our hearts? Because eventually that will help us to fight off the devil and to see things in a way like that. You know, how are we going to face life? And I feel that we need to be honest about these things. So, yeah, thanks for listening to the Ecumenist Tank.